day is taken out of the first book of Samuel, the 29th, the 30th, and the 31st chapter. We left off last week, as you know, speaking about Saul going to the witch to Endor. In this, we find David in the land of the Philistines. He had gone down into this country for fear that Saul would take his life. And now we find that the Philistines are going out to fight against the Israelites. And this king, Achish, he desired that David would go with him. David, he had made many expeditions while he had been in this country of the Philistines and had slain many of the Amalekites and the enemies of the Israelites. And he had, in a way, deceived Achish, because Achish thought that he had went into the land of Israel and fought against his own people, and he had made himself to be abhorred of the Israelites. But it was not so. He had not went into the land of Israel. He hadn't fought with the Israelites, but he had fought with the enemies of the Israelites, and he had slain every one of them for fear that they would come back to this king and tell him what he was doing. And now they were going to make war against the Israelites, and this king, Achish, he desired David to go along with him. And David, he dared not refuse. So he went with his 600 men. And we find in this chapter that the Philistines are marching before the lords of the Philistines, the princes. They're going by their hundreds and by their thousands. And finally, Achish and his army comes along with David in the rearward. And these princes of the Philistines, they see these Hebrews marching with these Philistines, and they say, what do these Hebrews here? Yeah, what do they there? They had no place being there. They were not supposed to be with the Philistines, but still David was in that country, and he had to go along for fear that this Achish would find out what he had been doing. This man, David, he was, in a way, very deceiving to this Achish. He was not honest. But Achish thought he was very honest. Achish praised him. Achish admired him and spoke how wonderfully that this man David had been with him practically about a year and 4 months, and he had found no fault with him ever since that he had fell to him. And now these princes of the Philistines, they desired not that David and his men should go up and fight with them, for fear that David would fall on the side of the Israelites and then fight against the Philistines. How would he ever reconcile himself with his king, with Saul? And this would be the way that he would be able to do it if he did this. Therefore, these lords were mad at Achish and said, send him back to the place which thou gavest him to dwell in. So Achish, he had to tell David that he had to go back to the place where he lived, for fear that these lords would become angry. And David, he put on a bold front. He said, why can't I go and fight, he says, with the enemies of my lord the king? He did not say his enemies, but he said the enemies of my lord the king. The people of Israel were not his enemies, they were his people. And he had been anointed to be king over them. And therefore, he put on a front before Achish. But Achish, he spoke wonderfully of him and said that he had been as an angel of God while he was with him, and he could find no fault with him. But the lords, they were against him, so rise up early tomorrow morning, he says, and go back to your place which I gave you to live, so there won't be any trouble. Well, David, he consented. Inwardly, I think David was very glad. You know, David, I think, seen the hand of the Lord in that he didn't have to go and fight with these Israelites, because that would have been a mark against him, to fight against his own people, where he was due to be on the throne to reign over them. And now the next morning we find David, he returns back to the place that Achish had appointed him to live in. This was called Ziklag. Now while he had went up with his men, there had been an invasion of that country by the Amalekites. They had come down and invaded part of Judah, part of the land of the Philistines. And they also had come to Ziklag, and they had burned that with fire. And they had taken the women and the sons and the daughters of David and his men captive and taken them with them. What a wonderful providence of God. You know, when David went into these countries and he went to invade, why, he slew everybody that he could get. He wouldn't let anybody live. Men, women, children, they were all slain. They were put to the sword. And now it would have not been wrong if the Amalekites had done that to his wife and to the wives of his men. But the providence of God over David's wives and over the wives of his men. God said it was David's fault too. And then their weeping and their mourning turned to anger. Oh, they became angry. And they began to talk about stoning David because it was his fault that everything had been taken away from them and their wives and children gone. And all, everything was gone. And all his men against him. What an awful state to be in. And now we read that David, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Everybody against him, everything gone, but there was one that was not against David. He was for David, even in all his troubles. David, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David went to God with his trouble. David found access with his trouble. David came before God and was given the plea before God and set it all before him. And all he found that this God was listening to him, that his ear was open to the prayer that he sent up, and that David had not been forsaken of his God. Although he had forsaken the land of Israel and had went into this country, still that this God was his God. This God was with him, even in his troubles. Oh, how encouraging this was for David. My hearers, have you ever been in a position like David? That David was in great distress, it says, and then he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. It may be that some of you have been in great distress too, outwardly, providentially. You might have lost somebody in your family. You might have lost a son, a daughter, a wife, or a husband, and all these things, they cut to the heart, believe me. Oh, they strike very deep. They strike in the flesh. And sometimes it may have been that you providentially was also brought down into poverty. You lost everything. Not too many years ago, we had a terrible depression. People lost everything that they had. They didn't have anything left. They had to go on the relief and they had to be kept by the city. Some of you may be in my midst, remember that and had that too. Oh, there are times we come into distress, even providentially. But who do you go to when you're distressed? Have you a God to go to? Is this God that was David's God your God? You will find him to be just like he was to David. He is a faithful God. David in his distress turned to God. There may be some amongst me that have been in spiritual distress. Oh, you know, when God begins a good work of grace in a person's soul, they can't go along anymore with their former friends. They got to turn away from the world. They can't serve sin anymore. And all they find, even in their own home sometimes, are their own relations. They become their enemies. They all turn against them. And then it may be that such a soul, he begins likewise, just like David. What did David do? In unbelief, he went down into the land of the Philistines. And sometimes in unbelief, this soul, it begins to say, well, what's the use anymore? Just like David, he was afraid he was going to perish by the hand of Saul. So this soul says, oh, I'm going to perish anyway. What's the use of going on with this profession of religion? What's the use of carrying it on? And they gradually go back, slide back into the world. They do this and they do that. And then what happens? Why then, even the people who they thought were their friends, even God's children, they begin, just like David's men, they begin to stone them with things. Look at what they're doing. And everything is against them. And then my hearers, to find that in the midst of all this distress, that God, he has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He is a faithful God. I could recommend him to everybody here this afternoon. Now, this was David's God, In the midst of his trouble, he was with him. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. His faith rose up, and his faith triumphed over all his troubles, and he was given to bring it to God. And now he calls for Abiathar, the priest. And he calls for the ephod. This ephod is a garment that all the priests wore. The ordinary priests, they wore linen ephods. They didn't have any decorations on them. They were just plain linen cloths. But the high priest, he wore a beautiful linen ephod, which was trimmed with scarlet, with purple, and with gold, and had beautiful stones on his shoulders. And this they used when they inquired of God what they should do. They put this garment on. And now David, he inquires of God by this man Abiathar. And he says to God, shall I pursue after this troop? Will I overtake it? And God answers David and says, pursue after them, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail thou shalt recover all. Oh, how wonderful. God answered David immediately. You remember me teaching you last week that Saul, he inquired of God too, but he got no answer. He went to different things too to find an answer, but he got no answer. What made the difference? Why, David was a man after God's own heart. David was his child. He loved David. And when David was in distress and inquired what to do, that God didn't leave him. He didn't forsake him. Oh no, he promised him. He said, pursue, and thou shalt surely overtake, and thou shalt without fail recover all. Oh, what a promise. This man David, he knew before that he went that he would surely overtake them, and that he would surely recover everything that had been taken from them. Oh, my hearers, has God ever given you a promise? Have you ever been in distress and God answered you? I may have some soul here that says, oh, I got to go back years ago. God gave me a promise. And the older I get, the more I begin to believe that it wasn't the promise of God. I think I was wrong. I can't believe that it was his word. And oh, I don't know. I don't think the promise should ever be fulfilled, because surely if it was of God, it would have been fulfilled now already. Some souls say that inside. Oh, think of Abraham. He had a promise of a son. And what did he do? He thought that that's impossible. So his wife with him, they said, you better marry Hagar and then go into her, and that's the way we'll have a son. So he consented. They went ahead to try to fulfill the promise themselves. And they had a son. His name was Ishmael, but that was not the son of promise. What happened? Why, everything died in Sarah. There was an impossibility on Sarah's side even that she should bear a child. She became so old. And then God gave. Then God fulfilled his promise. And he gave unto Abraham and Sarah a son, namely Isaac. And now, my hearers, it is the way of God many times to bring everything to almost an impossibility, so that his name will be glorified and his grace will be seen in the fulfillment of his word and of his promise. Oh, if you have a promise, that God who fulfilled David's promise will fulfill yours. And now David and his men, they went forward to pursue after the Amalekites. He had 600 men with him. And when they came to the brook Bezor, 200 of them were so tired and so faint they couldn't go anymore. So they left these 200 men at this brook. And David, with 400 men, they pursued on. These 200 men, they're a type of the Church of Christ. I don't know if I have any amongst me that are in this spiritual warfare. And oh, they get into a state sometimes that they can't go any further. They come to a standstill. They become so faint and so weak It's possible that these men, they had been weeping so much because they lost their wives and their children and their tents and everything, that they didn't have any strength either. But it happens also spiritually that we get to such a state that we can't go any further. We become so faint. So the psalmist says, I had fainted, he says, unless the Lord had been my stay. And now fainting is not unusual, even in the Church of Christ. These men, they remained at this brook. And we find David pursuing with 400 men. And now his servants, they found an Egyptian in the field. This Egyptian, he had been left by his master 3 days before, left in the field to die. Now this master, he's an awful master, I think, very cruel, had no humanity whatsoever, this Amalekite. He left his servant in the field because he was sick and he didn't want to be burdened with him. He couldn't be bothered with a sick young man, so he left him there. Didn't leave him anything to eat or to drink, and there he was, laying in the field, 3 days like that, ready to die. And the servants of David, they found this young Egyptian, and they picked him up and they brought him to David. And David, he gave him bread, he gave him water, he gave him a piece of the cake of figs, he gave him a few bunches of raisins, and his spirit revived. A wonderful providence of God for David and for this Egyptian. For had they not found him, he would have died. And for David, it was a way whereby he would know where that these Amalekites were. Now, in this Egyptian, I myself see this. I don't read this in the commentary. But I see in this Egyptian a type of a sinner of each and every one of us. This Egyptian, he was left in the field to die. The Word of God teaches us in Ezekiel 16 that we all are like a child lying in the field. No eye pitieth us. No one has any compassion upon us. The devil in the deep fall in Adam, he has brought us into this state. We left God, we forsook him, and we are in the field of this world. We are lying there in our blood. We are lying there ready to die, my hearers. Death is the consequences of sin, and this young man was left there to die. And that's the state of you and I. And now David's servants found him. Oh, this glorious Jesus Christ, he sends out his servants, and they go out to teach and to preach the precious word of God. And this word finds these sinners out. This word arrests them. This word brings them to Jesus, to David. And did David give this Egyptian bread and water? So the Lord Jesus Christ, he sees his child, who is brought to him through the ministry of the word to be fed, to be nourished. He gives him the bread of life. He gives him the water of life freely, without any money, without any price. And now when he gave this to this Egyptian, his spirit revived. Oh, my hearers, when you get a taste of the bread of life and you get a little drink of the water of life, oh, how that revives your soul. I'm taking this spiritually. This probably did not happen to this Egyptian, but I see this in this. And we find that after he had been revived, then David inquired who he was, and he told him he was a servant of an Amalekite, and he told him how that he had left him in the field, and he had left him go because he was sick. And now David said unto him, and wilt thou bring me down to this troop? And he says to David, if you'll swear by the Lord your God, he says, that you won't slay me, he says, and you promise me that you won't give me back to my master, he says, I will do so. I see in this, my hearers, a type again of the child of God. Oh, how many of the children of God, when first wrought upon, when first found out by the Spirit and convicted of sin, oh, they feel they deserve to die. Now, this young Egyptian, he had been with these Amalekites, and he had also been helpful in destroying the city of Ziklag. And it would have been just of David to have slain him. And therefore he pleaded for his life. So with us, When the message comes home that we are sinners and we deserve the wrath and the anger of God, we plead too that God wouldn't slay us or that God wouldn't kill us, just like this Egyptian. And he said, promise me you will give me over unto my master. And oh, isn't that the plea of every child of God? Oh, they don't want to go back to the world. They don't want to go back and serve Satan anymore, that cruel master who has left them in the world. Oh, no. They seek a promise. They seek that the Lord will swear by his word to them that he will not slay them and that he will not let them go back to their master, the devil who they served before. And my hearers, we find that this Egyptian, he led David down to where these Amalekites were. They were spread out in the valley, and they were dancing and singing and drinking and enjoying themselves of all the spoil that they had taken, where they had invaded part of Judah and part of the Philistines' land. There they were, a type of the world. Eating, drinking, dancing, enjoying themselves, unconcerned, not even thinking about what was going to happen to them. Here the Amalekites were spread out in the valley. And David and his men, they were given to see them there. And now this young Egyptian, he had led them to this troop. And now we find that David and his men, they went to war with these Amalekites. And from the twilight to the evening of the next day, he slew them. And not one man of them escaped, it says, but 400 on camels. They fled. They were the only ones that got away. And David, he recovered all. All the wives and all the children, he rescued them. And he also took all the spoil and all the booty that these people, the Amalekites, had taken out of the various lands that they had invaded. Oh, he took back with him a great spoil. He took all the cattle and they put them before David and they said, this is David's spoil. A fulfillment of the promise that God gave to David. Thou wilt overtake them and thou wilt without fail recover all. Oh, my hearers, this God is faithful to his word, faithful to David, and he will be faithful to you. If you have one portion of his word sealed home to your heart, he most certainly will fulfill it. Oh, how wonderful this was for these men and for David that they regained everything that they had lost, and more besides, for they gathered all the spoil that the Amalekites had taken. Oh, how good is God, my heavens. I see again in this, this glorious Jesus Christ type David was of, and he recovered all. He triumphed. Oh, this blessed Jesus, he has triumphed over the world, over sin, over Satan. And my heavens, he has recovered all. And now, in and through him, each and every one that is given to believe in him, they will experience that in and through his victory, they likewise will overcome and will be given that which they have lost in the deep fall in Adam. And now David, he leads back this spoil. Oh, I see again in him the type of Jesus Christ. Oh, he's leading his flock. He's leading his sheep through this world here below. And finally, there will be a day coming when he will present them before his Father and will say, Father, here are the children that thou hast given unto me. This is the spoil of my victory when I suffered and died upon the cross of Calvary. And now David, he comes back with this spoil to these 200 men that he left at the brook Besor, who were too faint to go along with him. And when he came near unto them, he saluted them. He hailed them. My hearers, That David, again, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That David wasn't angry with them. That David didn't look down upon them because they couldn't continue with him the fight. Or he did not reproach them or rebuke them because before that probably they had wanted to stone him. No, he don't say anything to those poor creatures. But he has men that are with him, men of Belial. And what do they say? Oh, they said, we're not going to give these men of the spoil that we have gathered. Give them their wives and give them their children and let them go. That's enough for them. They didn't go along with us. They didn't fight with us. They don't deserve anything. But David said, ye shall not do so wickedly, my brethren, he says, with what the Lord has given unto us. For the Lord has given us to be preserved and given us this great troop to be defeated and given unto us all this spoil. Oh, how different was David in spirit than even some of his men who had went with him. They were wicked men. Oh, my hearers, if you know yourself a little bit, then you see in these wicked men something that goes on in your own heart. Oh, you know we all love ourselves, and we're all for self. And as long as we have it, what do we care for the rest? That's the way these men were. But David